Talking about sports and drinking beers with your boys is cool, but talking about your dreams with your boys is a whole different ballgame. And I had a group of friends that we call ourselves the Daydreamers, and we started meeting every Monday night to talk about our dreams, and it changed my life. And so in that moment, I knew that my mission was to build community of people to chase their dreams together and to lead that community. And so that's where Dreamer State came from. And then after my experiences at Wisconsin in Big Ten school, go Badgers, big fun. I'm like, I want to take that energy of a university and bring it to a company and be like, Dreamer State University, baby. Like, we're here to chase our dreams. We got these classes we're doing together. We got these events we're doing together. My retreats, I want to call like spring break and summer break and all this different. Like, it's all modeled after what is, but this is what I'm building, right? But at the core of it, it's simply getting people to get off the path that others have told you to take. Stop being the person that others have told you to be, the Dales, the societal norms, and get onto the path that is towards your true dream life and who you really want to be in this world. And you don't have to do it alone.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Yes. We have such an awesome episode today. I'm pretty positive it's the longest episode of the podcast ever. When you're talking to a great guy with awesome energy and a huge heart who's helping people's dreams come true, it's easy to talk for a long time. Timmy the Dreamer is on a mission to build a community for dreamers. He's the founder of Dreamer State University, which is a community to love, support, and encourage one another as you chase your dreams. Essentially, it's built for dreamers, entrepreneurs, and creatives in their 20s and 30s who are making their dream life a reality. You know, too often we're told to get a stable 9-to-5 career to pay the bills, and then we end up working at jobs we hate for a lifetime. Timmy is here to help people break free from this, live a life of purpose, and step into the truth of who they are as they're encouraged to pursue their dreams with a community of like-minded and like-hearted individuals. We get into so many deep and beautiful aspects of life during this conversation, and I couldn't be more grateful that you're here to share and be a part of it with us. My dude, Timmy, I'm so pumped that you're here right now. I just love any time that we get to chill and have a conversation. So welcome to the podcast, man.
J-Dog, my guy, Justin Court, legend. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, man. Me and Timmy have this beautiful relationship. We had met like years ago and had communicated a few times. And then very recently, about a month ago, went on a retreat in Mexico. And I'm so grateful, dude, that we had that experience to reconnect and just go so much deeper. It's like we exchange things here and there and, you know, we knew each other a little bit, but this was like a whole nother quantum leap into like our friendship, relationship, our connection. And when I found out that you were going to be a part of this event, I hit you up immediately, dude. I was like, I know, you know, we know each other, but he doesn't know me like too well, but I don't care. I'm just going to give him some love right now. I'm going to reach out because I am so stoked that he's coming to this thing too.
Dude, yeah, I was ecstatic. I mean, because we spent one day together, right? It was down in the hurricane relief. That was probably 2022.
That was
2022 fall. Yep. We were down there for the hurricane relief. We met you. And yeah, it's just, I feel like when you're on this journey, when you start to go out into the world and meet people, you remember people that you're like, that dude had a similar spirit as me, right? Like there was something there that's like, I hope I see that guy again. And then you don't know, right? Then you keep doing your thing. And then all of a sudden we're in the jungles in Mexico together giving a speech on the same stage. It's like, how freaking cool is that?
Amazing, man. And how have you been since the retreat? How have things been going? How have you reacclimated back into normal society and reality?
Mm, yeah. Well, it's interesting because you know this, but right before Mexico, I was in Peru for 2 weeks. So I had like Peru for 2 weeks and then back in normal life for a couple of weeks and then Mexico and then back into, you know, like my normal life. And so for me, Mexico was nice because like Peru for me afterwards was really the big culture shock because I just spent like 2 weeks completely off the grid. Mexico was kind of like, I feel like I was missing, you know, like I was missing the foreign cultures, the rituals, the ceremonies. We can talk about if we want to, but those things that are so powerful. So to go back to then Mexico, get to be able to taste a little bit of that and then come back, I feel like it actually was a nice catapult. Like I didn't need time after Mexico to like reset because I feel like I kind of already had that before Mexico. Where after Mexico, I was feeling just super inspired. I mean, one, being around those type of people and being around people like yourself, like, you know, 50 or 60 of them, but also just getting up on stage, giving that speech, kind of, I would say, bringing a new level of awareness to my own superpowers. Like, I think we all have superpowers, right? We all have these gifts that we were given to use to serve others. And I think in Mexico, I knew I was a good speaker, but it was the elements around it where I saw myself holding space for others and I saw myself in a whole new light for that experience. And coming home, it motivated me to make that my everyday, right? To make that like every day I want to be speaking. I want to be hosting events. I want to be running programs. I want to be throwing retreats. I want to be talking to people like yourself. Like I want to make that my everyday life. And so what are the steps in the process to get there? I'm sure you know, as a solopreneur, you do everything, right? And so I'm like, I want to build a team. I want to have people around me to do the stuff that they're great at, that I'm not great at. I want to get to that point where I can be doing the things that I am best at each and every single day. And so it just got me super fired up, you know, to make that the vision of the North Star. So since Mexico, man, I've been good. As always, there's things that, you know, I've been battling and going through, which we can dive into. But for the most part, man, I'm really stoked to where life is heading. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. I just, Timmy, I told you this in Mexico, you, and I don't like say this lightly, I just wouldn't say anything. You crushed it in that speech. That was like flying high, man. Like the whole time you up there just seemed to like own that moment. And I can't express it in any other way, but I also felt like I was like flying high too. I just felt like a higher vibration. It just seemed like it was perfectly what was supposed to happen at that time. Each tone you hit, each word you hit just seemed to line up brilliantly. Mm. And we'll definitely talk about, of course, I love you, man. We'll definitely talk about some of the things you talked about in that speech because I want to share more of your story.
Yeah.
You know, where you came from, Dreamer State, all of these beautiful things that you have going on and just how you found yourself on this path. But as you just mentioned, man, I think, and I was thinking about this coming into this conversation. And when I come into the conversations with guests, I have like little planning, but I really want the conversations to just go wherever they take us.
Yeah.
And having that thought before and you bringing it up right off the bat is, it's so important, I think, because when people look at somebody like me and yourself, you know, we have this high energy, we seem to be happy all the time and very positive all the time. But like, shit happens to us just as much as it happens to everybody else. And I'm feeling like a calling to this recently is just being transparent and being vulnerable about that too, because I don't want there to ever be this facade that like, you know, us or people in the same realm are always happy and nothing bad ever happens to them. And it's just like easy living because it's just not true. And I don't want people to see that and feel the struggles of their life and then feel like bad about themselves. Sort of like, wow, Timmy and Justin are always happy. Why can't I be happy? You know what I mean? So just like giving 100%. That clarity, of just life is difficult in moments for us as well, for sure. It's like different practices and like things that we do that will help us in those moments for sure and help us even before getting into those sorts of moments. So, I would love to just chat with you a little bit about some of the, you know, tough things that have been happening. I know you said, you know, it was a little bit of a struggle in the beginning of this year. Yeah. So whatever you're open to sharing with, man, I think it would just, be beautiful.
100%. You know, to your point of the happy, there's like this happy guy, right? The happy guy. And people will, there's things I've seen on Instagram now where it's like, make sure you check in on your happy friends, right? And I, you know, that's been me my whole life, right? I've been the dude who's like, you know, Timmy, love your energy, man. Oh, like, you always are bringing such good vibes. You're always so happy. You're always so good to be around. And then some days, you know, when people are saying that to you, you're like, you have no idea. I do not feel well at all right now, right? And as an evolution of my growth, realizing that just because we have the high capacity to feel happiness and optimism and joy and gratitude doesn't mean we don't feel the other human emotions. In fact, it actually means we have a higher capacity to feel in general. So when I feel happiness, I'm going to feel it on a very deep level. But when I feel sadness or anger or frustration, I'm going to also feel that on a very deep level. And I've never allowed myself to fully feel the negative end of the spectrum. And that ends up causing problems. It ends up, you know, that I think for me, when you shut out those stuff, that's when anxiety comes in. That's when this feeling of, oh, I feel kind of heavy. Like, what is this undertone? And it's like, you know, people will say like sometimes the happiest people, like a Robin Williams or a Jim Carrey, like they end up being like super depressed or suicidal because they're like, why do I feel bad? And they just bury it. They just bury it. They bury it. They bury it. And they're like, I'm good. I'm good. And so a big part of this year for me and my growth has been giving space to all emotions. But for context, like why has life been difficult? Where is this emotional thing come in? So, you know, as you know, the last 3 years, right, I went on a pretty crazy journey. So I graduated from school, University of Wisconsin. I made this decision. Actually, I have one of the contracts here. Right. I made this decision. Right. I have this thing I have people do now to sign a lifetime contract with my dreams. I made this choice and I basically said, I don't want to work corporate America. I don't want to do anything that doesn't align with my purpose and is going to make me happy. And so I go on this journey to figuring that out. You know, I'm at the time in Minnesota where I'm from, and I have no idea what my dream life looks like, what my purpose is, what's going to bring me happiness. But I'm just like, I'm going to figure it out. And in that process, I meet a man named Charlie Rocket. Now, Charlie is like one of the biggest influencers in Los Angeles. And he used to be in the music industry. And so he had built up a name for himself in his past and a good amount of money and a decent following. But he wanted to make his whole mantra, basically what I call like a modern day make-a-wish. He was driving around in an RV. He was making dreams come true for kids with cancer, homeless people, people needing a miracle, right? And giving them hope and then rallying people around it to help him make this awesome stuff happen. So I meet Charlie and me and him hit it off. And what I thought was going to be a couple months of my life basically turned into 3 years where he calls me, you know, and he's like, hey, man, you know, we met very briefly on a weekend, right? We met, we had a cool exchange. I helped him with this event. I volunteered at his stuff. And then he calls me and he's like, hey, dude, I would love for you to join me on this tour and be a part of my team. And so I go on this crazy mission where for 3 years straight, I mean, it was just unbelievable. Again, I mean, I know you know some of it, but it's like we helped over 1,000 people, which in itself was just incredible. We got celebrities involved. So we got people involved helping us. So we'd bring in Oprah, we'd bring in Steve Harvey, we'd bring in a Jake Paul, Machine Gun Kelly, the Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat. Like we'd bring in these awesome other public figures to help us make these dreams come true. So I'm like, again, I'm calling my uncle. I remember one day, like, yo, uncle, we just met Steve Harvey. And he's like in Iowa. And he's like, what? Like, what do you mean you just met Steve Harvey? Right. And so all these things are happening, 2 6-month tours, these sold out events in Los Angeles. You know, we were living in this content home in Los Angeles. So we're living now in like a $5-10 million mansion in Hollywood Hills. Like my life was all of a sudden just, I mean, it was, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, pure craziness. And I didn't even understand what was going on at the time, right? I was just like, this is insane. I'm here for the ride. But, you know, as it grew, my level of responsibility grew because Charlie's obviously like, hey, Timmy, we got to hire a TikTok person. All right, I'll hire him. Hey, Timmy, we got to hire a salesperson. All right, I'll hire him. Okay, Timmy, we need to do Monday team meetings now. All right, I'll lead him. Like it was just, hey, Timmy, I have a speaking engagement. You know, I need you to orchestrate the logistics and the, okay, I got it. Hey, this brand just called. I'll talk to him. Like, so my life all of a sudden is like, I remember one day, I swear to God, I was on 75 phone calls. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm doing this, right? So all this to say, right, last year, it became clear to me that I was at a point where my growth, you know, I'm reading this book right now called Mastery, right? And it's like the master and the apprentice, right? Charlie was the master to me. He was the guy that had a lot of this knowledge that I wanted to have. And as an apprentice, I grew and I got to a point where I realized that Charlie and my long-term visions were different. And that's a hard thing to realize, right? It's like if you're in love with someone and they want kids and you don't, like, it's like, we don't want the same things, right? We're gonna inevitably at some point split up. So do we do it now or do we do it later? And we had a pretty tough conversation, you know, honestly, things were said, you know, I mean, as any breakup, it's never beautiful, right? It's never pretty. And you need some space. And so last year we kind of had this conversation where we parted ways. And this gets to the vulnerability part. I think the backstory was needed, but when I left, right, I was so excited because I knew what I wanted to do professionally. I'm going to build Dreamer State University. I'm going to build a community of people to chase their dreams together. I'm going to help students and recent graduates and people in their young 20s find community through events. I'm going to build these programs for them. I'm going to get all these experts that I met together and we're going to help people chase their dreams, right? And I was so excited about that I just kept going at that pace that I'd been going at, not realizing that deep down, the truth is that I was really freaking sad. I was really hurt. Like I at a certain point was convinced that, you know, Charlie and Lank and my guys were going to be my business partners for the next 25 years, what we were building, what we were doing. And, you know, when I left, I didn't really realize like how much it sucked to give all that up, to give up having a team, to give up having the, you know, physical event space and office that we have, to give up having this celebrity backed, you know, movement, to give up just like the vision of what I wanted it to be like. And then to be back in that solo grind of planting the seeds and you got to start from scratch. And so the start of this year, man, you know, I was, again, for the first time in my life, allowing myself to feel sadness. And I know we talked about this, but like for the first time in my adult life, potentially, like actually had a real cry, like real tears of like, dude, I am so sad. I miss my team. You know, I've always been like a coach. Like I was, you know, I had that like coach, captain, sports, you know, vibe in sports and basketball. And I'm like, I'm a coach with no team now, right? Like I'm now like having to redo that process. And of course, like my optimistic brain is like, but dude, this is great. This is what you want. This is what you're building towards. Yes. And it sucks. It sucks, man. It sucks. I mean, you know, I lived with Charlie for 3 years. I mean, I everything we did was together. And so our employees were incredible. Like the work we were doing was incredible. Everything was so beautiful. And so I never gave myself to just be like, damn, bro, like this really sucks. Like this really sucks. I miss my guys. I miss Charlie. I miss Lank. I miss our team. I miss what we had built, you know. I mean, they're still going, but it's like, you know, it's hard. It is not easy. And I said this in my speech, but when you chase a dream, the hard part is like that good to great, you know, that good to great ideology. You're here and you're at good. And you're like, I want great. I want my purpose. I want my dream life. I want to get there. Usually looks like this. It's not a good to great. It's a good. I need to jump off this cliff of good. And I need to go back to the freaking bottom to then get myself back up to great. And that's kind of what it felt like. Is like, wait a second. I just almost had, I was this close, right? Like in those situations too, when you're at good, you're like, oh, it's so close. Ah, it's almost the right thing. She's almost the right person for me. This is almost the perfect thing. But you know in your heart that you're like, but this isn't it. And so I can either delay the inevitable again, or I can say, all right, man, I'm going to give my faith to the universe, the plan that it has for me. And I'm going to follow my heart. And I know that I'm going to be good because I've made it every day. You know, I'm still alive. I made it every day this far. I'm undefeated. Woke up every morning and I'm still going. And so that's where a lot of the emotions and hardships have come from. It's not because I'm not excited about where I'm going or that I don't have all the things I need to live a beautiful life. It's that sometimes closing a door to a chapter is really freaking difficult. And that's been my reality this year, is trying to have the motivation to build my future while also grieving and processing my past at the same time, which ain't easy if anybody's ever tried it. Not easy, not easy. So that's the truth, man. Yeah, that's where we're at.
First off, so many things to talk about there, but I have so much love and respect for you that you fell off the cliff in order to be your great. Because it's not even like you left a job that you hated, which in itself can be difficult to leave that job you hate to go to something that you love. You loved where you were, but you knew that there was more greatness out there for you. That's an even way more difficult decision to make, and you made it. Like, bro, you did it. I'm so proud of you as just like a friend and as a human and like as a being. Like, and I know this, where you were, that great would have been a certain level. You leaving, falling off the cliff, that new great that you're going to get to is going to be a different, more beautiful, amazing great than you could have ever gotten to before. Because you always would have had that in you of like, ah, this is great. This is beautiful. But this isn't exactly what I know I'm here to be doing.
Yeah, I'm getting emotional just thinking about all this.
Dude, like, and these stories like these are so powerful, man, because you're going to inspire and encourage other people to do the same, to fully go for their dream.
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing, man. And I love to.
Oh, yeah. I'll just add one thing here that, you know, when I left, remember I wrote something down and, it was really powerful. And I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, why are we doing this? I'm a big why guy. I would love to talk more to you about purpose later in this episode, but really big why guy in terms of, to me, the word dream is synonymous with the word purpose. Like dreaming to me is not this like whimsical, like I'm just going to go do whatever I want with my life. It's no, like, why am I on this earth? What, and let me direct my life towards that. And let me find freedom within that, right? I'm going to go on this journey and I'm going to I'm going to dance within that journey. So I say this to say, I wrote something down in my journal and I said, I'm not here to serve a man. I'm here to serve a mission. And when I wrote that, it just hit me so deeply. Because again, with dreaming, it can become very confusing to think, oh, my purpose is tied up with this one project or with this one company or this one individual. For me, that being Charlie and everything he was doing. And I took a step back and I said, no, my purpose is not tied to anything. My purpose is my purpose. My purpose is who I am. My purpose is what I give the world. It's my gifts. And if I'm serving something that no longer allows me to be in that, not only what I want to do for the world, but who I want to be, like who I am, that's a sign to then keep going. And so when I signed this lifetime contract with my dreams, it wasn't a lifetime contract with any organization, with any specific entity, specific person, specific group of people. It was, I'm building my dream life, not the one others want me to live. And that's going to show up a lot of times throughout my life. It already has. But that was a really important thing for me to say. I'm not here to serve a man. I'm here to serve a mission. And for me, that's been my reminder in those moments where I'm like, dude, this is tough. It's like, yeah, but what's the other option? What's the other option? Like, it's tough to chase your dream. The other option is to give up and to go do some shit that you know isn't for you. And that's going to be hard because you're going to wake up every day knowing, damn, this isn't it. And you're going to die probably having some big regrets about all the things you didn't do. So I'd rather choose this tough path because I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I wanted to add that in because I just think that that's so important. Every freaking path we take is going to be difficult. So it's like, you know, you see it on Instagram, the choose your hard. But right now for me, that is so true. It's like, okay, I'm choosing the path that I know is mine and I can live with whatever happens because I'm not going to have any regrets saying I didn't go for it. And that's what I want to be able to like leave this earth saying, you know what I mean?
For sure, man. I love that.
Man, this gets me fired up, bro. I'm like, this is some deep stuff, man.
Well, I'm glad we got to talk about this because in the jungle, I love you. And I've been thinking about this since we were in the jungle. Mm. You had mentioned to me, you know, you had some like tough things at the beginning of this year, end of last year, and it had to do with your experience with the Dream Machine. And we just never got to get into it. You know, we talked about a lot of other things. There were 50, 60 other people that we were also talking to with there.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't want to let that go. I care about you. And I've been curious since then, really, what's been going on. Mm. I didn't know if it was going to come up here or not. Again, going into the conversations, I'm like, whatever happens, kind of happens. I'm grateful that it did come up because one, it's a powerful story that needs to be shared to inspire others. Mm. And two, I love you. I want to be here for you. So I want to be here to support you and help you in any way that I can. Mm. And I'm glad that, that this got to kind of come to the front because even in you telling that story, man, I'm like, what can I do different? Like literally myself, I'm like, where can I make sure I'm not here to serve a man, I'm here to serve my mission? And when I love that, breaking it down that way, it makes it so clear to me. When we're here to serve our mission, I feel like we're here to serve our soul's purpose. We're here to serve and do what resonates with the truth of who we are, not what someone else may want to do, or our visions are alike as this other person, like yours with Charlie, but it's different than mine, right? So you're not serving that man or that other person and what they're trying to create, even though it may be close to yours. And I think that's the big distinction here. Mm. It's like, dude, you were very aligned with like what you wanted to do, but it was off that little bit. And then so that being off was off of your soul's purpose, was off of your truest being. Yeah. And dude, to have the clarity and to like realize that and to, to step in that direction. Mm. And honestly, to know that it hurt, to know that it was painful, to be like, Cool. Honestly, yes. Timmy is like everybody else. Timmy does go through hard things as well.
Dude.
I just want to share this with you quickly. And I wasn't sure if I was ever going to share this with you. When we were at the retreat, we were in a van on the way to the cenote.
Yeah. Yep.
And somebody in there was talking and you came up. And someone was like, Timmy's always so positive, man. He's just, and there was almost like a sadness in their voice, loving you, but being like, Timmy's so happy all the time. He's so, like, why can't I be like that? That's where I don't want this to happen, where someone's looking at you or me and then feeling bad about themselves. Like, that's like the worst case scenario here. Mm. And I felt that in the car, dude. And I hesitated saying this, but I followed through and I was like, Timmy's just like everybody else, man. And like, Timmy told me yesterday that he's been having some struggles and hardships this year as well. You know what I mean? He comes through with this beautiful energy, but he also hurts and he's also in pain too. And dude, after I shared that, I was like, should I not have shared that? Is Timmy going to get mad at me if this ever comes up?
That's
and I
beautiful. Yeah.
I started to like panic a little bit, but I was like, it felt more true to us, literally both of us, to share that. Cause I almost felt like if you were there, you would have shared that aspect of yourself as well.
For sure. No, I'm really happy you said that. And that's the tricky part of this, right? It's, I really always, for a very long time, I would say the last 5 years since I made that decision to the, you know, that was August 15th, 2018, the contract that I signed. I've really always done my best to keep it real with people. And to share my heart when it needs to be shared. And it's hard. It's very hard sometimes to do that. But I talked about this in the speech, right? There's a really interesting thing that happens when you experience your first wave of success professionally. I got to experience that. And I'm a basketball guy, right? So I always view every year as like, every year you have the opportunity to win a championship. In the 2021 with Dream Machine and Charlie, we won a freaking championship. I mean, dude, the stuff we were doing, raise $250,000 for a homeless guy, build him an art website, throw a sold out art show in Beverly Hills, get him into a new home, Matthew, cerebral palsy, launches clothing line. He gets to meet Mike Tyson and Akon and Kevin Hart's wearing his clothing. And he gets to, you know, live out his dream. You know, Lila, we're doing this huge baking event in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, and 5,000 people show up, national news. I mean, across the board that year was unbelievable. But I realized that success and happiness, it's like a Venn diagram. They're not correlated. There is certain things that like, yes, I'm more successful and now I'm more happy. But there's certain things that are the complete opposite. As a matter of fact, I would argue that sometimes when the success goes up, the happiness can go down because other areas of my life, like my health and relationships and different things were suffering. Like even at our highest moments, there was battles I was going through. And then through that journey, beyond just my own experience, I got to meet, right, celebrities, billionaires, and I got to see how broken some of these people were. I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, I won't say names, but specifically like one of the most famous musicians on earth. And I'm like, this dude is going through it. You know, a billionaire who told me that he almost killed himself. He was driving to work in his Ferrari and almost took his own life. And so you're seeing this and you're being like, you know what? We are all so imperfect. We are all so imperfect, and we have two choices what we can do with that. We can either be like, oh man, I'm imperfect. I'm not good enough. I'm not capable. I'm not worthy of doing that. Or you can realize that like, no, we're all imperfect. And because we're all imperfect, these people have done it while being imperfect. So I'm also going to go for it and do it anyways. And I think that's the distinction. It's not, oh, they did it because they have some magical thing that I don't have. It's no, they did it because they were just like, screw it. I'm going to do it despite not feeling like I'm fully, like, you know, in my zone. Because very few people ever even get there in life. Very few people get to this, like, enlightenment or this feeling of, like, oneness and like, I'm fully whole and complete. Because the reality is, like, shit also happens throughout life. You might figure out one thing and then, boom, your friend dies, which happened to me. I felt great. Friend passes away. I feel terrible. Then you have a breakup. Oh, like, things happen, right? Then you might have a wife and now you have to deal with that. And future, like, this future me, like, kids, like, there's always going to be new things. So it's like, I can't let me being imperfect stop me from chasing my dreams, because that's very selfish too, right? Like, we're here to serve others. We're social creatures. We're social beings. If I am so worried about myself all the time, I'm not going to be giving anything to others and providing to the ones I love, to society, to the betterment of humanity at the larger level. So it's just so important to talk about this, because one of my gifts, yes, is my energy that I can give to others and my joy and my optimism. But that doesn't mean that I don't have my shit, right? Like, that's a gift I was given, but it doesn't make me perfect. Those are two totally different things, right? So yeah, dude, such an important thing to touch on. So important. These are great. These are such important talking points, man. These are so important.
It's important too, I think, just to take moments and, like, let these things sink in a little bit. I was messaging with Gabriella, who is at the retreat as well too. And she just listened to the last podcast episode that got released. And sometimes, like, if I'm editing the episodes and there's too long of a pause in between, like, people speaking, I'll cut it short because I get self-conscious and I'm like, is too much time gone by? Is that weird? Are people going to, like, cut out? Because, and she sent me this beautiful message being like, hey, listen to the episode. It was great. Thank you for taking the time in between and taking those pauses in that space, because that allowed me to, like, download and understand it more and take a moment to really let it sink in.
Yeah. Yeah. Pauses, man. It's so beyond just the podcast conversation, right? I think the pauses in life are so important. I'll share a story from Mexico when we were together. We did the Temescal ceremony, right? And for those who don't know, the Temescal is basically like a sauna ceremony. The best way to put it, it's this structure, you know, made from dirt, and they heat up rocks and they put it in the middle, and it feels like you're in a sauna, but you have 20-30 people, and the guide is leading you through chants, through rituals, through calling in your ancestors, calling in your intentions. It's a beautiful experience. And my heart was so open in that ceremony that I could feel everything. I mean, you couldn't see a thing, right? But I mean, I remember somebody started crying and I started crying. I remember somebody started laughing, I started laughing. I started humming. Everybody in the room starts humming. Like, I just felt so connected to that space. And when it was about to end, I realized something. I was like, this is just the start of this experience. It's so easy to end a powerful experience and then go right into the next thing. And I remember I raised my voice. I said, hey, I have an offering for the group. Let's do it. Let's do a silent 30 minutes after this. And let's just stay with how we're feeling. And we all go out by the campfire and people are having, like, these just profound, like, tears, hugging, rejoicing, prayer, meditation. And you could just tell later that night, people are in a whole different ball game. And those pauses, those times when you do something that can be an hour or so short, or it's a really big moment, and we rush into the next thing, and you miss the beauty and you miss all the lessons of what was given. And I'm really, this year, I call it slow dancing, but I'm really trying to slow dance this year in between my big things, because I realized last year I did so many big things, but there was never a pause. There was never a slow dance in between, that the big things, I didn't even value that much because it was just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Versus now I'm like, big thing, let's slow dance. Like, let's And there's this beautiful poem. Oh my gosh, I got to share it with you. It's called Slow Dance. And oh my gosh, like a couple of the lines from it that I just love. Simple things, right? But one is like, when you ask, how are you, to your friend, do you stop to hear the reply? Another line, when you hurry and worry throughout your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. It's in those kind of things, like, you better slow down, don't dance so fast. Time is short, the music won't last. And it's like, you can even be doing these profound things in your life, but you miss 90% of the joy and the feeling and the gratitude from it, because we're so quick, we're so rushed to go somewhere. I don't know where we're even going. We're just so rushed to go somewhere because we can't sit still. Oh, taking a pause, man. I'm going on a tangent here, but taking a pause is just like, dude, there was a year or two in my life where I literally couldn't physically sit still because I didn't even know how to take a pause. And now it's like, whoa, to be able to sit with yourself and be like, yeah, this is good. I'm good. That's everything, man. So you're a king of that, but I had to jump in there because the pause in life, the slow dance, so important, dude. So important.
It's like when you start to do this and it starts to get uncomfortable, that's how you know you're doing it. So it's moving through being uncomfortable that will stop a lot of people, but that literally takes you to the other side. Because that's when you'll know. Literally, as soon as you're like, oh, this is awkward, this is weird and uncomfortable, you're doing it. Don't stop. Like, stay silent, stay paused, stay still, stay in that moment. As it gets louder and louder and louder for you to move, again, be grateful for that. That means that you're actually doing it. And see it through. So many times we stop when things, I mean, I've done it a million times. We stop, seriously, we stop when we're uncomfortable. I've done it a lot of times in my life too. It's on the other side of that fear or being uncomfortable is where literally where everything is.
Dude, yeah. And to jump in off of that, the see it through, that's so good. It's understanding too that you on your own have the power and the strength to get through it. Right? You've heard people say, this too shall pass. But that doesn't resonate all that much unless you let yourself experience that. Unless you let yourself experience the passing. I have a mindfulness coach, and there's a part of the mindfulness practice that is a art of sitting and realizing when emotions come and when they go, and it labeling that. So I wake up on a Tuesday, I feel sadness. On a Friday, my sadness is gone. And it's literally labeling, wow, okay, I just went through that emotional wave, and now I'm back. Now I'm good. And this year, something I haven't really shared with anybody, I think I might have shared with you briefly in Mexico, I have not put this on social media. I have not been loud and proud and bragging about this. I am today 132 days no alcohol. I'm 98 days no coffee. I'm 68 days no weed. I basically realize, and it's not for the reasons that most people do it, right? They say, oh, I'm not drinking because it's bad for my health. Truthfully, man, I love to party. I love tequila. I love going out with friends. I love coffee. I love the way it makes me feel. I love smoking some weed, listening to some music. Like, I've never even said this publicly that I smoke weed. I lived in California, man. I still do. Like, I go back and forth to Minnesota. Like, these things, though, I realized were a way for me to get out of that low. It was a way to distract me. I wake up, I don't feel good, have a cup of coffee. I feel great. I'm good. Week's been kind of shitty, but I'm going to go out with friends. And okay, I feel good. And you don't get to experience the rising and passing. You don't get to understand that you have the strength on your own without these things. You don't need the caffeine. You don't need the alcohol. You don't need the weed. You don't need the vices. You have the power. And in this couple months here that I've been sitting in with myself, I've gotten to go through a couple waves of like, whoa, I just hit a super dark spot. And then I come out of it. And then it happens again a couple weeks later and I come out of it. And then the gap between those dark spots are longer. Now it's been 4 weeks and I haven't had a low moment, right? And then it happens, but now the next time it's a month. And I'm realizing, oh, these lows, they'll come. They're going to come. Shit's going to happen. But I can get through them without these things that I've used. And I'm not saying I'm going to have those things out of my life forever. Because I do think that there's value, you know, especially there's been times in my life where I'm like sitting down in a foreign country, having a beer with a local is like the coolest thing ever. I'm not cutting out alcohol for life. I'm not cutting out coffee for life. I'm not saying these things are out of my life forever, but to realize in the ways that I was using them and how I was avoiding going through that phase and understand that I can do it on my own. It's been really cool for me to go through that process and to also not share it, to also not be like, look at me, I'm 4 months sober. Da, 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 da. You should feel terrible because you drink. Like, that's why I haven't said it. Cause I'm like, this is not a Timmy running around being like, little cool I am for not drinking. It's like, no, I got to do this work myself. And that's what I've been doing. So yeah.
That was incredible. That was, that was really awesome. And dude, I love it because you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for anybody else. So there's like that, you lose that need to like shout it from the rooftops because you're doing it for you. I also think it's both. I think there's a balance in it and I think it's very worth and helpful and important to bring it up in little pockets on a podcast like this, maybe in a friend group, some other friends who may need it. Because it's a really important thing to talk about. To like, dude, that was just like to realize, oh, I love this. You don't need the vices, you have the power. Because I'll smoke at night, I use it as a crutch. Cause sometimes it's been a really tough day. It's been long. I have two kids that can get kind of crazy sometimes.
That's a whole new ball game, brother.
And at the end of the day, it's like, yo, I just need to take, you know, an edible or a couple hits just to like balance myself out. And it's like that subconscious thought that I can't do it without that. But that's not true at all. And thank you for bringing such clarity to that. That's not true at all. It may be a little bit more difficult at that time to just sit there and be with the chaos of the day and not have this thing that can maybe balance me out a little bit. But I have the power and the ability to balance myself out without anything else.
Yes. Yes.
I think by doing that, that creates more, like you just said, like you're loving like your version, like you're loving who you are in this. And like, that is a beautiful way to grow more and to understand ourselves more and understand the emotions and the feelings that we're having instead of just like taking this vice, doing this thing to move ourselves away from it, but instead looking into it.
Oh man, when I was in Peru, Brandon Collinsworth was the leader of the Peru trip. Unbelievable dude, unbelievable guy. One of the biggest lessons of the trip was just everything that you want, you already have. Everything that you need, you already have. It's all within you. And again, it's one of those things that you can hear and be like, no, I don't. But at some point in the journey, it hits you and you're like, oh shit, I do. And it doesn't mean like tangibly, like, oh, I want more money or I want a bigger, I get that there's like these needs that we want, but it means like, you already got it. You got what you need to go get it. There's that funny meme where it's like, you ask the universe for a cake and it gives you a baking sheet and flour and all the ingredients. And you'd be like, this isn't what I asked for. It's like, we have all the elements we need, right? And even scientifically, we are literally made up of the same atoms that the entire universe. You could take one speck of the universe somewhere and one speck of a human, they're identical. Like, we are the universe. The universe is us. We are literally connected to everything. So, like, you already have it. You already have it. And that's why I love doing these meditations. I love, like, I have all these little things like Mamba mentality, you know, a constant quest to be the best version of myself. My friend made this for my buddy who passed away. Your dreams matter. I have all these little things that remind me of people who have done things that I admire. They have certain things. Because I remember, if they have it, I too somewhere have it in me. I have it in me. It's there. If a human being has done it, something in me has that too. And sometimes you don't feel like you have it. You can borrow it from someone else. I don't have the courage. You know, I don't have the gratitude today. Let me tap into Justin is the king of gratitude. What would he do right now? Okay, Justin would sit down and be like, you know what? Today's been tough. I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to say, so grateful that I have this beautiful home. I'm so grateful I have the chance to share my message. I'm so grateful that I'm getting lunch with my dad after this. I'm so grateful that I'm going to the Timberwolves basketball game tonight. I'm so grateful that this past week got to do a consultation with a brand, and I got to really help them build their culture and their brand and their, you know, their why. So grateful for all of that. I just borrowed Justin's mind there. I just borrowed it. That wasn't even me, but it is me. It is me, because I got to be like, it's already there. And so that's, again, we already have it. And that's the unlock. When you stop waiting for permission for someone else, when you stop thinking the responsibility to create something in your life is anything or anybody outside of you, when you're like, I have the keys, I just got to figure out what boxes they unlock and how to do it. It's so much more empowering. You go through life being like, okay, I got it. I can do this. I'm okay. The sun will come up tomorrow.
I think that's such a beautiful practice to tap into the people that you know in moments mm-hmm. where you feel like you're lacking something, but someone that you know, you feel like is abundant in that thing, and tapping into like their being and their consciousness. That was awesome, man. And like, you doing that right now, like with me, just opened up the door and painted the picture of like, I need to do this in moments with and tapping into other people who I love, who can from a distance help me in a moment, tapping into their consciousness and their mind and their vibration and how they would look at the situation and how they would show up. Cause it's so true. It's us, we have it. That can be like a nice like little reminder that we can like take from them, but it's just taking in that awareness and realizing that we already have it. Cause you couldn't express the gratitude like you just did unless you already had it.
Right. And it's not being inauthentic either. I think sometimes like, oh, well, but I'm not that person. It's like, cool. Do it how, like, if, like, let's say for me, right? Speaking is like my number one focus for the year. I know being on stage is just like lights me up. Okay. Who's a speaker that I really look up to? Inky Johnson. I think Inky Johnson is one of the greatest speakers on planet Earth. So I can study Inky. I can see what he does. I can embody his movements and his gestures. That's a great place for me to start, until the next evolution of that is, okay, now make it your own, right? And it's okay to start by saying, if I want to be a good basketball player, let me model what Kobe Bryant did, because that shit worked. And now I'm going to do his exact formula until I realize, okay, his exact formula isn't fully me. I need this, this, and this. And that's part of the journey, right? And so it's not being inauthentic. It's just, I know this person has what I want. Let me start by studying and modeling after them. And then as I go, I'll find my own structure. It helps to start with someone that you know is at least someone like somewhat like you, right? Like Jesse Itzler, another name I look up to. He's a great guy to model after, because he cares about health. He cares about family. He cares about business. He cares about impact. He's a high energy guy. I can model some of my stuff after how he thinks and operates until I'm like, okay, this is truly me here. And that's okay. It's not inauthentic. You're not trying to be someone you're not. You're just using it as a model and a guide and a compass to put you in the right direction. I just think that's important to bring up.
That was huge, man. I love that. Like taking that in, maybe that's not exactly who you are, but then taking that as a piece of it and then building off of that. I think it's also very important too to bring clarity to the situation of, are you actually not that thing that you're striving to be and you can borrow it from somebody else? Are you actually not that thing, or is that what you've just been programmed and taught your whole entire life? And is that something that you believe, even though it may not be true? Like the gratitude thing, someone could be like, I don't know how to practice. I'm not gratitude. Like that's this other person. That's not me. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to give thanks. Is that, and it's okay if that's true, but be real and have clarity. Is that actually the truth of who you are, or is that what your parents instilled in you your whole life? When you expressed gratitude before, people said, what are you getting so happy about that for? That sucks. You know what I mean? Like, is it actually yours? And understanding in a moment, you can transform and be like, oh shit, that's what I've been told my whole life, but that's not true. I actually can open my mind and express gratitude in these moments or do these certain things I look up to in somebody else. So I think that was like full circle. I think it's beautiful to not be inauthentic for sure. Use parts of people, you know, when you can, but realize, is that actually who you are? Yeah. And if it's not, that's fine. Like that's totally fine. But just being true to ourselves, not just believing that first subconscious thought about a situation, seeing that, hearing that, observing that, but going deeper and actually having conscious thoughts about that situation and determining then what aligns with you, what's true with you, is that who you are or is that not who you are? Something I think is so important for like just life in general, and it's something that I've realized so much, is like not basing your next movement in the present moment, not basing that off of old programmed beliefs. Acting in the here and now as in the version of who you are here and now. And our subconscious mind will do that based off of that programming. They'll give us that first thought towards a situation or a circumstance or a person or an event. But is that truly who you are now? Or is that just all that past shit that has been pushed on you or ingrained in you that isn't actually who you really are? And another reason, like a part of why this is so important, is because if we don't like really love these patterns, if we keep finding ourselves in a reality that doesn't actually align with us, that we're not happy, we're going to keep recycling that past version and those past realities if we approach this situation in the present as our past version of ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And people like myself, we get tied to these beliefs in ourselves because that's how life has showed up for us. That's what's happened to us. We think, hey, I'm just unlucky, or I'm just this. It's like, are you, or is that just all those past ideas that you think is yourself that actually isn't? You just bought into them, and because they've just been cycled through you, you just say, okay, this has to be who I am. As you say, this has to be who I am, you create it again and again. And then you create it again, you reinforce the idea that that's who you are. You say, this is who I am, you create it again. And just understand, you're not creating it from the actual version of who you are in that moment, you're creating it from the past that doesn't even exist anymore.
This feels like a good time to bring up Dale. Because what you just said, it's also not even like our own past selves. It's the beliefs that we believe simply because other people have told them or instilled them in us, or cultural norms, or what your family was wanting to do, or what your friends have wanted to do. And I feel like I got to tell the Dale story quick, because I feel like this is a really, I just saw in Mexico how every single person related to this, but exactly what you just said. Can I tell the story real quick?
Oh my, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I've mentioned in this episode the day I signed a lifetime contract of my dreams. And I want to just explain what happened on that day. So it was August 15th, 2018. I was about to be a senior at college at University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I was going into my senior year, and it was a really big low point for me. I had done everything, right, that I was told to do. Right, we talk about my childhood dream, was to be an NBA player. When I realized that 5'9" white guy with a pretty average vertical was probably not going to go to the NBA, you know, then at that point, when I was about 17, 18 years old, I started to just be like, okay, well, I don't know. I'm going to go do business because that's what people do. Like, it seems like I'll go to this big school, I'll get a job at a big company. And I stopped listening to like my own inner voice. And so I go to Wisconsin, and don't get me wrong, I had a great time at Wisconsin, but it's like, I get the good grades, I study, I get the internships, I'm doing all the right things, I join the clubs. And yet, like, by the end of this summer, going into my senior year, I was like, dude, I don't want to do any of these jobs. Like, I'm not excited about where my life is going. Like, none of this excites me as much as basketball did. My mental health and anxiety was a really big problem at the time for me. I felt kind of lonely at this point because all my friends were about to go like work corporate and move to New York and Chicago. And I was like over here, like, I don't really want to do that. And so I hit this point where I'm like, damn, dude, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I have a lot of anxiety and I feel lonely. And this is like all very new stuff for me. And so August 15th, it's the last day of my last ever corporate internship. And I'm going into the office to meet with the CEO. His name's Dale. And I was like, this guy's, you know, multimillionaire, founder of a company, you know, is living the dream in every sense of the word. I'm like, maybe I'll just be honest with him and tell him, hey, man, I've been struggling. Like, I feel like there's something more out there for me. I feel like I want to travel and start businesses and I want to do these things. I don't see my friends or people around me doing them. And again, in Minnesota in 2018, I didn't know one entrepreneur, one content creator, one traveler. Like, I didn't have any people in my life who were doing that stuff. And so it just felt super lonely. And so I just told him this. And I was like, maybe he has some advice for me, some words of wisdom, some things that can, you know, help guide me to figure this out. And, you know, the four words I'll never forget, right? He looks at me and he says, you can't do that. I remember being like, what do you mean I can't? He's like, you can't just, you're 21 years old, man. You can't just skip the process. You can't just start a business and travel. Like, you're living in this like fairy tale land. You've got to put in the work and sacrifice and build up your resume and your career and all this stuff. And then at some point, you know, you'll be ready to do what I did, but you're not ready. Like, you're delusional. You gotta be more realistic. You gotta keep on the path. I remember being so pissed off. I walked out of that meeting being like, dude, what? Because again, I'm sort of at this point an insecure young kid. I'm like, is he right? Like, do I just have to keep following this path? I've already been doing it, but I'm miserable. But is like somewhere through the misery, like some pot of gold, like 30 years down the road? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so that night, you know, I talk about laying in bed and, you know, getting a message from the universe to get out this piece of paper and to say no, no. And on that day, I said, I don't know what my dream life looks like, what my purpose is, but today's the day I'm committing to walking the path. I'm committing to burning the boats, burning the bridges, saying, I don't want that life. I don't want to go work corporate. I don't want to go do these jobs. I'm going to go figure out what my purpose is and how to go live it. And that's what I've done the last 5 years. But this Dale point, because obviously in Mexico, it brought up a whole conversation around, who's your Dale? Who's the person in your life? Whether it's a person or just how your town thinks, who's your Dale? Who's the person that's told you these things? And now you believe, you know what? I'm not good enough to do that. You're right. You know, that is delusional thinking. Now, you know what? It is a bad idea. Those aren't your freaking beliefs. Those are what other people have freaking told you. And now that's how you're making decisions, because you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not capable. I don't have what it takes. All because somebody else freaking told you that. But in your heart, deep down, you want that. And so it's important to identify like your own limiting beliefs, but also who are your Dales? Who have told you things that, and now these are thoughts in your head that aren't even your thoughts. And to say, nope, this actually isn't mine. This actually isn't mine. This isn't mine. You clear up your headspace and say, what is my thoughts? I want this. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to make decisions, like you said, from that place, not from a place of old limiting beliefs or limiting beliefs that others gave to me that aren't even what I truly believe. And that is so freaking important, because when you make decisions from a place of love and a place of alignment, it's so different than from a place of fear and uncertainty. And it'll take you two totally different directions in life.
Like, the mantra of that week was, "Fuck Dale."
Yeah. I've never said it. I'll say, don't be a Dale.
Don't be a Dale.
Because
in reality, I have empathy.
I'll let others say that one. I'll say, don't be a Dale.
Don't be, honestly, because like, it's really not Dale. Dale was just giving his insight and advice based off of his past experiences.
Right.
100%. That's it. That's all that Dale knows. There's nothing wrong with Dale. There's nothing bad with Dale. During that whole week, I was just like, I feel empathy for Dale. Like, literally, you know what I mean?
If this is what this guy believes, is a part of him that probably isn't fully happy. And that's sad.
That is.
Multi-millionaire, exactly. House on the lake, business, the dream, family, kids. Again, talk about having it all, but not having it all.
It's like, it's so important to not allow someone else's experiences dictate your experiences.
Mm.
Right? Like, to decide on your own. Like, you can, it's hard to do. You can get things from other people, but you don't have to make them yours. Like, that's their experience. In reality, it has nothing to do with you. That can give you information to assess things and be like, okay, I mean, that can exist with what Dale said, but nah, that's not really where I see myself going. Knowing that maybe is a possibility, but knowing that I can create my own.
Right.
And like, when Dale was growing up, he didn't have social media. He, you know what I mean? He didn't have the ability to reach out to Charlie and start living your dream instantly.
Right.
He had to go through all of it. Back then it was like, you got to work the 9 to 5. You got to put in the grind for however many years before you can do anything. It's not like that anymore. It's like, hard work pays off. Hard work is beautiful. But with technology and social media and all these sources and things at our disposal, we approach things differently. All Dale was trying to do was probably help you not go down a path that was going to leave you nowhere, being like, hey man, this is what I did that worked. That's all that I know. Now let me give that to you.
Yeah, 100%.
But again, not letting their experiences dictate yours. Like, that is so huge. It's theirs. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. And that's all I thought of.
Yeah, keep going.
And that's all I thought about Dale the whole time when he was there. And it was like this funny thing that people would say, like, don't be a Dale, F Dale. But I just kept thinking, I'm like, man, Dale, like, it's sad that you, that first off, that you think that, and like, kind of second that, like, you're having the potential to crush other people's dreams built off of your lack or sadness or inability to create what someone else is trying to create.
Yeah.
So really, it should be like, love Dale and kind of grateful I'm not that way.
And what you said is so important about, you have to distinguish for yourself whether it's good advice or not, right? Like, because sometimes people might tell you something and it's spot on, but you have to know, how does this apply to my life, right? How does this apply to me? And that's the important thing. Because what he said to somebody else might have been exactly what they needed to hear. For me, it was like, he's arch enemy number one now, right? He's enemy number one, right? So it definitely is like, we got to just take in information and be like, how does this apply to me? Is this useful to my situation? If not, then we can disregard it, or we can remember that's not me and use it as a, because for the first year and a half of my journey, before I'd met Charlie, when I was just in this, I used that as motivation. Like, I really, like, I'd think about him every day and be like, and again, whatever you could say about, like, you know, is that a good way to motivate yourself? Whatever. It motivated me to be like, no, I am going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. Period.
Like, that's what
it is. And then I did. And now I'm doing the process again. But I remember thinking about Dale when I was, this was like right after that 2021 stretch. We had an unbelievable run. Again, now I'm Charlie's manager. You know, he's booking speaking engagements for $50,000 plus. We're getting brand deals in the six-figure range. Again, living in a house in Hollywood Hills, doing these incredible campaigns. And I'm sitting on my balcony overlooking the hills and looking out over the ocean. And I remember just thinking, like, I told Dale I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to start businesses. I wanted to change people's lives. I wanted to make people's dreams come true. I didn't even know what that meant. And like, look at what I got to do. If this was the end of my story, if I went and got a corporate job tomorrow, I did it. I did it. I got to do it. I got to do it because I said yes to the journey. And that to me is so beautiful. And going back to Brandon from Peru, you know, he told me, he's like, Timmy, you know, you've already done what most people want to do with their life. Like, you made it to the, like a basketball, right? You made it to the league. You made it to the league. You won a championship. Your goal now is, how do you have a Hall of Fame career? Now with Dreamer State and with what I'm building in my dream, how do I win the championship again with my new team, with my new vision? But he's like, don't forget, just because you're restarting, don't let that make you forget who you are and what you've already done. And I think for the first time, probably ever, I'm proud of what I've done. Because I've always been that high achiever who's like, I don't feel good. I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to do more. And I still am a go, go, go guy. But for the first time ever, I'm like, I'm proud of what I've done. Now let's go do it again and win another championship.
Yes. Dude, I feel like Dale is exactly what you needed in that moment. Seriously.
I needed the fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not even like the whole idea of like F Dale, it's not really F this person. It is F the idea that you can't follow your dreams and that you can't do what resonates with you and what your passion is. That's what we're saying F to.
Yeah.
Because that story resonated with so many people there. I feel like it's such a big part of your story. And like, that was perfect. That was truly exactly what you needed at that moment. So thank you, Dale.
And to be honest, right now, that's the ethos of my entire vision with Dreamer State. And I guess I can probably tell people what is Dreamer State, but that's the entire ethos of Dreamer State is like, so Dreamer State at its core is a community of people to chase their dreams together, right? And the pillars that I'm building out are community, education, and impact. So community, events, retreats, experiences, education, programs people can take on how to build their dream life and dream business, education, one-on-one coaching, education, free resources, you know, free things that people can have access to. I realized that, like, in the impact part, right? Giving people scholarships to chase their dreams. I love that. Everything in this world I'm building is modeled after a university, right? I'm like, I just want to build a university for the dreamers. And I went to a Big Ten school, right? And I got to see how amazing community is. I was also a sports guy. I was president of my fraternity, captain of my basketball team, you know, president of my entrepreneurship club at college. I've always been a part of communities, but it wasn't until I got to experience community and dreams mixing together that I was like, whoa. Talking about sports and drinking beers with your boys is cool, but talking about your dreams with your boys is a whole different ballgame. And I had a group of friends that we call ourselves the Daydreamers, and we started meeting every Monday night to talk about our dreams, and it changed my life. And so in that moment, I knew that my mission was to build community of people to chase their dreams together and to lead that community. And so that's where Dreamer State came from. And then after my experiences at Wisconsin in Big Ten school, go Badgers, big fun. I'm like, I want to take that energy of a university and bring it to a company and be like, Dreamer State University, baby. Like, we're here to chase our dreams. We got these classes we're doing together. We got these events we're doing together. My retreats, I want to call like spring break and summer break and all this different, like it's all modeled after what is, but this is what I'm building, right? But at the core of it, it's simply getting people to get off the path that others have told you to take. Stop being the person that others have told you to be the Dales, the societal norms, and get onto the path that is towards your true dream life and who you really want to be in this world. And you don't have to do it alone. We have a space for you to dream together with other incredible people. And dude, like, I mentioned this in the speech, but this isn't just like, again, a small minor issue. This is a huge issue. There was a study done. We talked about this. There was a study done by Bronnie Ware, a nurse who was working with people who were dying. And this is the largest study ever done on people who are about to lose their life. And she said the number one regret people have when they're about to die is, I wish I had the courage to be the person I wanted to be and not the one that others wanted me to be. When people come to their end of their life, they think about all their unfulfilled dreams, all the things they wanted to do, and they're like, damn, I never did it. I never did it. And I'm trying to look at dreamer state being like, well, what are all the reasons people don't do it? It's because they're afraid to do it alone. They're afraid of being embarrassed or judged. They don't feel like they know how to do it. They don't feel like there's anybody out there telling them, hey, you got this. You can do it. Not, no, you can't do it. And so I'm like, let me be the dreamer big bro. Like, let me be your big brother and be like, you got this. Yes, you can do it. Here's people to do it with. Here's stuff that can help you. Like, what else do you freaking need? I'll build it. Like, let's go. You got this. Come on. Let's do it. Let's go. Like, that's what dreamer state is about. And I'm just building it brick by brick. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take, like, the last 2 months, I've had to remove myself from Los Angeles, which is where the community is headquartered, because I've had to sit still and I've had to do the unsexy work of saying, no, I want this to be my life's work. So to do it right, I need to set the foundation for something beautiful that I can do for years and years and years to come. And dude, I'm so passionate about this. Like, this is my purpose. This is a manifestation of everything that I am. And I'm ready to, like, as basketball, I'm ready to put it all on the court, man. I'm ready to dive for loose balls. I'm ready to take the charges. I'm ready to get the rebounds, make the extra pass. Like, dude, I'm ready. I'm so ready. And it feels so good to be on this journey. And so I'm really stoked. And I'm also going to be launching the digital community soon. And so that way then anybody anywhere can join. And my goal over the course of the next 10 years is to have a chapter in every state in America. Right now, Los Angeles is the first chapter, but then to build out chapters so we can be connected locally, but also globally. And that's where it's like, boom, we've done it.
Dude, let's go. You get me? So
I was just ready to run through a wall right now, bro.
Dude, me too, man. Talking about man, it gets me so, so excited. You're talking about one of the most important things I think that exists in this realm and reality and being a human. And like, you're helping people achieve that and do that thing. Obviously, helping people achieve their dreams is like one of the most beautiful things I feel like anybody can do in this life. Like, are you for real, man? Like, you're helping people achieve and create what they want most in life, their purpose. Like, that in itself is so profound. The reason why I love it that much more and literally what you're doing is because I truly believe what we feel in our heart, in our soul, and who we are at this time in this version of Justin is Timmy, whoever anyone is out there, what lights them up, what makes them feel fulfilled and whole is, in my mind, their soul's purpose. The reason they came here to experience what they're going to experience to help in their soul's growth and expansion. And when we can live every day doing our passion, not doing the job that we hate, but what we can do, when we can do every single day what lights up and fills up our heart and our soul that is true to our happiness and our joy and who we are in this lifetime, to me, that's what it goes like that level deeper. It goes to like the soul. You're helping people achieve what their soul brought them here to achieve. And I think how much more of a beautiful world would we live in if everybody was doing what made them happy instead of 99% of people doing something that they hate? And how stifling is that for your soul and your being and your heart and your life when you're doing what you hate every day, as opposed to you doing what you absolutely love and what lights you up every day? Mm. And dude, I love you so much because you are creating obviously a community and a place, and you're helping people fulfill their soul's purpose, fulfill the truest form of who they are. You're helping people reach real states of joy and pure happiness and pure love in their hearts. There's like, I don't know much of a better gift that you can give to somebody, and you're doing this for so many people.
Yeah, after Mexico, there's two things, and this is where I get said, I think like, there was two things in Mexico. One, it was realizing that my story is a permission slip for people to chase their dreams. It's like, I'm a normal dude from Minnesota. It's like, there's nothing like LeBron James, Kobe Bryant-esque about me, but it's like, just go for it. And so that was really cool to see. The other thing was to realize, we talked about superpowers at the beginning, to realize like one of my greatest gifts is to hold space for people's dreams, because we don't have a lot of spaces to dream or places where people feel comfortable. And it was really weird because in the last couple months, I've had people randomly text me and just be like, hey, I really wanted to tell you that I'm like starting this project. And like, I don't know, I just wanted to tell you because I feel like whenever I think of this stuff, I think of you. Or, hey, I really wanted to call you because I'm launching this thing. Or, hey, dude, I just, you know, whenever I get down about my dreams, I just think of you, and I just keep going. And it's like, those are the things for me that I'm now aware where I'm like, oh, that's a gift that I have to use in this world. Because people have always done it, just come up to me and just start talking about their life and dreams. And I'm just like, let's go, cool, let's do it. But now to really understand the power of that and to use that for good, and to also be able to do that to earn a living. Sweet. Let's do it. And that's that soul's purpose thing, right? That's where it's not always going to be easy to do that. It's not like, and I remember even with Charlie and Dream Machine, there'd be days where, you know, we're helping a young girl with cancer and her father is having a mental breakdown in my arms. And that's not easy. I'm shook the next 4 or 5 days. I mean, this guy's, you know, you have these moments when you're walking in your purpose. Again, it's not always going to be this beautiful sunshine and rainbows thing, but you're never going to wake up and be like, my life has no meaning. And the highest form of happiness, many studies have been done on this, the highest form of happiness is when you use your strengths in a meaningful way, when you have a meaningful life. It's a happiness that persists beyond any like emotion or feeling. You can feel sad in that purpose. You can feel happiness in that purpose. You know, it's bigger than emotions. It's about, like you said, your soul. And that's a beautiful thing, right?
It's like you staying true to who you are. And this is why I got so pumped even earlier about, you know, you and Charlie parting ways so you can really align to your soul's path. Is because in you staying true to who you are and following your soul's purpose, you are granting the ability for so many other people to do the same.
Mm. And it's so important for other people to realize that too. When you chase your dream, you are giving everybody in your life, your friends, your family, anybody who follows you on Instagram, anybody in your sphere, energetically or physically, you are giving them permission to do the same. And I guarantee you that by you doing what you want to do, you will impact so many people because they will undoubtedly have the courage to go do what they want to do because you made that first move. 100%.
It's like, I don't know if I would have thought, I mean, I actually know for sure, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I didn't have the thought or the vision that like you can spread love for a living. You can make money and you can spread love. And though I'm not fully there yet, I'm manifesting that every single day. It's like, and I'm getting excited now that it's like, I spread love every single day. And that's how I make a living. And that's how I provide for my family. That's how I'm able to eventually start foundations or charities to help other people. And who would have thought that? Like not that long ago, like, bro, you're going to make a living by being loving? I don't think so, man. Bro, you're going to make a living by helping others focus on their dreams? Why don't you go get a 9-to-5 job and just shut up about it already? You know what I mean? Like, and like that is the voice that we hear all the time from society and things like that. And that's why you said like, by you doing this and following your dreams, you're going to inspire so many people. You're going to show them that that's even possible. Mm. Where we've been told our whole life that it's not.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of dreamers out there too, man. A lot of dreamers. That's why I love Venice, California, man. I mean, I've thrown two events out there now and you got 150, 200 people in a room that are just like dreamers. And it, to me, Venice is so beautiful because it's the flagship, because that's where there's just a high percentage of dreamers in that city, but it shows the rest of the world, yo, you can do this. You don't have to live in Venice, California to do it. There's people in every state in this country doing exactly what they want to do, living the exact life they want to be living. And you can too. Simple as that. It's complicated, but it's as simple as that.
Bro, I love how you say it too. Like you are people's permission slip to follow their dreams. It was like, that is like, that hits me on another level. I don't know why. I love the idea of permission slips. And it's like, wow, Timmy, it's like, I view you as like the vortex for people to go through to then understand that they can follow their dreams and live them and pursue them. And when we were at the retreat, man, like everyone has dreams, but how often are we having conversations about them? How often is there a community that you can jump on and share your dreams and chat? And I witnessed that, dude, at the retreat, and I saw firsthand how powerful it is. Because after your speech and during it, the room had a crazy energy. The room was lit up because people were like, oh shit, whoa, I'm gonna be supported in chasing my dreams. Wow, I can actually chase my dreams. This is viable. And you could just feel that shift in energy when like that clarity came through to people and they realized it, and they realized they had other people who they could talk to about it, who are also chasing their dreams, so that they could bounce ideas off of and stuff like that, that this community even exists. Like that in itself is such a gift that you created this community where people who are doubting themselves because their parents don't want them to do this, now they have a resource that they can go of people who understand them, who make them feel seen and whole and welcome, where they may not be able to experience that anywhere else in their life. Whoa, seriously, dude, I love like... I love you as a human being, as a person, and I love you that much more because of what you're doing. It's like, if this is just who you were, Timmy, your energy, I'd be like, I love this dude. But the fact now also coupled with just your passion and your pursuit and what you're doing in life and how you're helping other people is just like, it is so impactful and meaningful to me. And like, I fall in love with that because I see how many people you can help and how many lives you can change so much for the better. Like the better and like the best, honestly, like again, like you're helping people live their passion and do the things that bring them joy and excitement and happiness. It's so profound and so powerful.
Dude, well, you saying this, it you don't know how much, again, these conversations mean so much to me, because These are the little things that I need along my journey to just keep me going. Like, cause that, you know, not saying this in like an egotistical way, but with the business skills I have, I could easily just go get a 6-figure job, be making a ton of money and be living a very comfortable life. But again, that path of purpose is not always the easier route. And I have, for a very long time, sacrificed short-term comfort, short-term financial gains, you know, short-term certainty to say, I know what I'm doing long-term. And so again, to just to have you affirm that, it's just, it's always nice to get like an affirmation of like, dude, keep doing this. And I'm going to keep doing it, brother. I'm going to keep doing it.
Bro, what makes you such an impactful leader of this is that what you're preaching and helping people doing, you're doing it. You're already doing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes you look at Timmy and be like, I believe this guy. Because you're not just talking shit or talking about something and now you have like your 9-to-5
job. It's your dream and you too can have a Lamborghini and 5 hot girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, bro, and like it's not even like you have like your 9-to-5 job where like you're doing that, but you're telling everyone else, go chase your dreams, but I'm going to stay comfortable over here.
Yeah, right.
That's how you lead, by you actually doing it. Like you are teaching people and helping people follow their dreams as you're also following your dream as well. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Like I want you like to really grasp how really much that makes people trust you and lean into you because you're leading by example. Mm. That's huge.
J-Dog, my guy. My guy. I have no idea what time it is. Have we been talking for 4 hours?
It's been at least 7. No, so we're going to start to... I know, man. This is like maybe the longest podcast episode so far. It's been maybe around an hour and a half, but
okay.
I could just keep talking to you. I mean, we will start to wrap things up, but I could just stay here forever. Literally, I've had moments in this conversation of like, wow, this feels so beautiful. I don't want to leave here. But so I want to ask you the question that I ask every single guest on the podcast. And I always preface it in a similar way, just so people can kind of understand like where I'm coming from. So my soul's purpose, my dream is to show up every day as the most loving, kindest, best version of myself, highest version of myself, so that I can help through my actions, through this podcast, through the pages, that I can help in any way, shape, or form help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that is more loving and kind and peaceful, empathetic, understanding, forgiving, a consciousness that follows their soul purpose and their dream, and a consciousness that is one. And then so that's my why, man. That literally is my why every day, to help aid in this beautiful shift of consciousness that I know can exist here. And then so the question is, how do you feel like, you know, every day you are helping contribute to this sort of a shift of consciousness?
I have two thoughts on this question. The first is just you contribute to it by being yourself. Right? That's step one. Like, I have a great friend in Los Angeles, Molly. She always says, you are your purpose. Like, it's you. Like, you being your authentic self, you going after the things you want, you living a life in alignment with who you truly are, is naturally contributing to that collective consciousness and to that betterment of society. Because you're showing up with your full gifts, your full talents, your full passions, your full energy. So that's step one. Step two is, I always think about contributing to society in a little bit of a different way than I think like the modern young entrepreneur thinks about it. Because we always say things like, I want to change the world, right? I want to change the world. And I do too. But what does that mean? And I have this thing now where I say, like, before you can change the world, you have to tend to your village. Meaning, like, if you aren't showing up for your friends and your family and those who are already in your sphere of influence, how do you expect to be able to impact thousands or millions of lives? If you don't have the capacity to even show up for your immediate village and impact them in the way you want to, then how are we asking the universe for more? We haven't even shown the universe that we can do this on a small scale. So my mindset's always like, am I serving my purpose just with the people who are most important to me already? Am I doing it with my family, with my best friends, with the people who are important to me? And now let me scale that up. Now let me, instead of thinking I need to go here right away, now I got this little community built. Now I'm impacting people through that. Now I've met a ton of people on my travels. Now I'm about impacting people through that. Now I'm doing speeches. Now I'm doing events. Now I'm doing retreats. Now I have my own programs. Now I have a bigger following. Now I have this. Now I have, and then eventually I'm changing the world. But I start with, let me tend to the village. Because how much better of a world would this place be if we all focused on being a better friend to our best friend, a better son to our parents, a better partner to our spouse or girlfriend? How much better would this world be if we focused on being a better father? You said you have two kids. I don't yet, but I'm excited to have kids one day. How much better would this world be?
Like that, that's it. Like that was so beautifully said right there at the end. Like if we can just show up, and that's what it is. That's the shift of consciousness. It's just in our everyday, in the mundane, in our daily tasks with the people who are around us, with the teachers out of school, with your siblings, with your kids, with your parents. I love that, man. It's like starting there, being loving and kind and open and accepting right there, and how much that can change. Mm-hmm. Bro, I love that. That was so, I love the first part of that too, just showing up as like your truest, most beautiful, authentic self. That too. Mm-hmm. That's how you, seriously, you show up as this loving version, this kind version, this one who acts instead of reacts in moments, a person who sees our unity instead of our separation. A person who, when someone is maybe rude to them, you think, or you just get curious about that person's pain, not hating on them because they were, you know, a little mean or nasty to you. Mm. It's like these little incremental shifts.
Yeah. The Dalai Lama has this quote that I love. If you've never read The Book of Joy, you would freaking love it. The Book of Joy, insane, insane book. The Dalai Lama says, before you judge anybody else's actions or opinions, or judge your own actions or opinions, remember that everybody is just doing their best to try to be happy. Every human's action is, and even the most crazy actions, the most messed up things people do, they're doing it out of this weird belief that it's going to make them feel better. And when you have that lens, there's an empathy that you can say, again, with like a Dale, where it's like, he told me that. I could either be super pissed, which I was for a while, but now I can be like, dang, okay, like Dale must have his own stuff he's going through. And again, that lens, it doesn't mean we are going to accept and tolerate injustice and things in the world that are happening that we don't like. But again, we can approach it a little more mindfully, because what conversation goes well when you don't like someone and you start going and yelling at them and da-da-da-da-da, never goes well, right? It goes, if you can show them you understand and you can have a level of relation to them and then say, hey, I don't like what went down and here's what I don't like about it. Again, that energy is so much more received on the other end, and it can allow for greater change in others if we're carrying that energy with us, as opposed to like, you suck, you're an ass, you're a dick. And then it's like, they're gonna be like, well, screw you too. And then nothing ever, no change happens, right? No, so it's like, we've gotta be the change first. We've gotta embody it and then let others get there when they're ready.
Mm-hmm. That's like the logical part of it. So many times we get very emotional in these moments. I have as well. But it's like, if you say you completely disagree with somebody, you're on opposite ends of the spectrum in a thought, a lot of people will at least want that other person to understand where they're coming from, maybe see their thought as like some truth and maybe start to come to that side or at least understand it. So now logically thinking, taking the emotion away, if you scream and curse at that person, you create more division. Do you think any of those things will ever be achieved? There's no way. It's being open. It's expressing It's being open and expressing unity. And like what you said is perfectly, it's not condoning their thoughts or believing them. It's just leaving space. So you can hear them and understand where they're coming from. That will create that sort of an understanding and at least those little gradual steps towards them understanding you more. Maybe like this person is like literally super racist or has these really terrible ideas in the world. You arguing and screaming at that person is going to make them probably more racist.
Right.
If you can take a moment and just be with them and understand where they come from. And then maybe through that understanding in that space, share your perspectives of love, of how racism is insane and creates division and is hurtful and does everything wrong and negative. Maybe through those conversations, you can start to get somewhere, but you need that openness and those conversations and that space to get somewhere instead of just pushing away and creating that separation and that division.
Yeah, man.
That's helped me because sometimes I will get emotional, but I'm like, all right, logically, what am I trying to do here? Okay, me screaming at this person, is that serving in the best interest of what I'm actually trying to achieve? And it never was.
Yeah.
It never is.
Yeah. All right, dude, I could talk to you forever, but in interest of tending to my village, I am late for a lunch date with my father.
That's
so super important. We might have to wrap it up.
We're good. We were just about to. That's the last question. Yes, go enjoy lunch with your dad. That is very important. Before we cut out, Timmy, just let everybody know where they can find you online, social media. Anyone out there who's got a dream, which is every single person listening right now, who wants a community, who wants education and impact for that dream, how can they grab a hold of you?
Yeah, easiest way is Timmy the Dreamer on Instagram. That's where I'm the most active right now. That's where I post every day. That you can find the other pages, you know, through my main page. So I would just say Timmy the Dreamer on Instagram. I respond to my messages and stuff. People want to hit me up. Like, oh, that's where I'm most engaged with the community. So simple as that, man. The IG, the gram.
Literally everyone listening right now has a dream. If you feel like you could use more support in that dream, if you feel like you have a lot of support, but it'd be great to bounce ideas off of other people, have more education and how you can achieve this dream, like hit up Timmy. Like, this is it. This is why I do this podcast and have these conversations. It's not just to talk, which I love, but it's to inspire and to help everybody out there listening. So like, if you came across this podcast and you have a dream, this is literally your sign to follow that dream. It's like giving you a resource like that's never existed before to follow that dream. So do what's in your heart, follow that. Timmy, if you can thank your dad for me and just say, let him know I appreciate and everyone appreciates him giving a little bit more of his time with you to us. I just, I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely, man. I love you, bro.
I love you too, man, for real. Everybody, we have so much love for you. Thank you for being here with Timmy and sharing the space and just being in this conversation. Follow your dreams. Follow your dreams. Now you have a beautiful resource to help you do that. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. See you, buddy. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.